Hello, 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 and welcome to You Land Alive. Thank you, Blog Talk family, for coming and spending some time with me this evening. I'm so glad you did. This is Yolanda. It's your sister and your friend, Dr. Yolanda Davis, speaking truth to troubled times and the issues of the day. I'm so thankful, like I said earlier, that you've taken this time this evening to spend with us, to hear some very important truths, and be able to apply them to your life so that we can have the best experience. Amen. I wanted to just put out there now, in case you are out there and you're listening and you want to call in with a comment or a question that we might be able to help you with, our call-in number is 646-716-5639. Again, that call-in number is 646-716-5639. Bless the Lord. So, have you given any thought to how you've arrived at your current state of life? Is there a struggle in getting from where you are to where you want to be? Well, what we're going to deal with today is just that train of thought. Today on You Land Alive, we'll address the path that leads us to being stuck, as well as what it is that's required to change those patterns, no matter where you are in your life. One of the things that we're doing with this particular series that we started, I guess it was Monday night, with Mr. Charles Watson, who graced us with his time and presence for a very long period of time. We had an extended show to really give time to deal with hearing his story and how he overcame. We're going to be dealing with what we believe. What is it that we believe and how has that affected us? So this is really exciting because we're going to be getting down to the root of some of these issues and how it is that we've arrived at where we are literally right now. Some of us have been deeply affected in life by events, abuses, thought processes and patterns that haven't really lended to our own picture of what life should be. And at some point in life, we've got to come to the conclusion that we've got to stop, take a deep breath, and become a bit introspective enough to find out, what can I do? What can be done about where I am in my life circumstance and situation? So we're going to be dealing with a little bit of this, and we're going to get to the point where we're digging deep, starting to get to the root cause, some of the root issues of what it is that has caused us to be stuck, what it is that has caused us even to prosper. What are we doing? What are those patterns? What principles are we actually practicing? And I think it'll bless you because, you know, some of this is actually biblical. You'll find that some of these principles that we would apply in success, and I don't mean just monetary success. I mean life success, success as moms, success as dads, success as being a friend, success in my relationship. All of these things happen for cause, right? So nothing just happens because it can. These things are happening as a result of some specific practices and beliefs. And the reason why we're even dealing with practices, although we're talking about beliefs, is because what we do every single day is as a result of what we believe. So these are the things that we're going to be addressing today on Your Land Alive, and we're going to get pretty deep. So feel free, like we did in our last time getting together, of grabbing a pen and some paper, because we're going to be dropping some serious hot knowledge on you today. And I think it's good because it's the very things that help us to have a most abundant life. Christ said, "I have come that you might have life." So even Christ wanted each of us to have full lives, hearts that are filled with love and joy. He said he would like for life to be flowing from us like rivers of water from our bellies. Get a visual of that. How rich and how deep. So these are the things that we're going to be exploring. What is hindering us from experiencing that? And so this is going to be a series. How long the series will be, I don't know, guys. That's just going to be up to what the Holy Spirit shows me as we're going through this. But I want us to be able to really understand in this tumultuous time and season what it is that has caused us to be where we are today. I want to give a shout out to my Inspire Network family. You guys are a blessing. I'm glad that we've got an opportunity to spend some time together online on Monday. And I think also that we can grow even in how we do our business practices, how we do relationship, how we do our jobs. This information is going to help us be free in how we affect and even approach people in our lives, circumstances, and situations. So this is what I want us to be ready for. You know, some of us are hungry really for some extreme change. We've had just enough trouble in our relationships, and we've had just enough trouble in trying to figure out how to deal with that child who's driving us nuts. Just enough anguish and anxiety over life issues to where we're saying, that's it, I need a change, or something ugly is going to happen, right? So this is just as much for you as it is for the person who's looking for personal success that's been stuck. You know, years ago, and I'm just off on a rant now, right now, guys, but years ago, we were excited about the release of the book and even the film. The name escapes me right now. The Laws of Attraction. Remember that? I forget what year that came out. And people were excited about this law that you could use to really have anything you want in life. Now, some of what that video portrays is on point. There's a lot left to be desired because people are not understanding, looking at this video, all the components that went into these people's successes. It wasn't just the law of attraction, obviously. There were a lot of root issues and root things that needed to be addressed for these people to have success aside from just desiring a good thing. So this is what we're going to be addressing. But before we begin any of that, I would like for us to be mindful of what's going on in our country, what's going on in our societies even. We talked about this a little bit in our last segment, where we talked about the hurricanes that are just sweeping the Southeast here in America. We talked about the fires in Oregon. And for what I understand, today there were some earthquakes in Mexico. We're in troubled times, family. We're in troubled times, not just weather-wise as far as great pestilence and, you know, weather issues right now, which is of a biblical proportion, really. But we are also in troubled times when it comes down to how we relate to one another. We're in troubled times. And so I'm wanting us to stop a moment and not only reflect and pray for someone else who's going through, there may be someone on the line who is actually directly affected by this terrible weather. And if you're out there and you want to give us a call, feel free. Our call-in number is 646-716-5639. We would love to hear from you so we could even pray with you directly. We would love to hear from you. I think it's absolutely pertinent that we understand and get a pulse on what's really happening and not be so dissonant that we miss that there are people around us, worthy, loving people who need our prayers, who need our helping hands, and even our donations. So if you are one who is affected, feel free to give us a call. Help us to pray for you correctly because you know better than anyone else what you need. I want us to take a moment, getting back on track here, and just pray for the victims of these situations and their families. And also those who are listening in on the program, I want to pray for you as well. And those who are in need of guidance in their lives. So this is what we're here for. We're here to serve you. Like always, that's my heart, to be a servant and to provide a bridge in these times where we're speaking truth to it. But we're also allowing for you to have that bridge. So let's just pray for these hurricane victims. And if you would just agree with me, that would be awesome so that we can see God's hand move on their behalf, as well as do what we can with our own power to be of assistance. Let's just pray. Father, I thank you for your grace and your mercy that allows for us to see a new day. Lord, we're able to sit here tonight and take a breath. We can breathe out, Lord, and we can breathe in, and we understand that this is a gift that was not promised to anyone. And so, Lord, we thank you that we can come into this day, Lord, even though we've had stuff go on and issues that have hurt us, knowing that we have the bare basics because of the grace of God to exist and be able to even change the circumstances that we face. So, Lord, we come before you on this evening asking God that first and foremost you would wash and cleanse us with your blood, forgive us of our sins, and make us whole for your own purposes, glory, Lord God, and desires. Do a work in our hearts, Lord, that can't be undone by the works and the hands of man or the enemy. And help us, Lord, to have intrinsic transformation transformation, Lord, that will us being you imagined well before the foundation of the world. Lord, touch hearts that need to be touched, encouraged. Lord God, edify, exhort, do whatever you desire on this evening so that we can be true representations of your thought process the day that you designed us. We agree with that, Father, and we just thank you for it. And Lord, even as we've asked for a cleansing and a regeneration in your word and in your blood, we ask also, God, for your help. Your help for those who are suffering all around our country. I know that most of what has occurred and weather disasters, Lord, happened in the Southeast, but I'm not ignorant to believe, Lord, that it's just the Southeast that has been affected by these terrible hurricanes. There are family members all over the globe for people who live throughout the Caribbean and throughout Puerto Rico area and Mexico and all of the many islands that were affected, as well as the coastline. God, you know who's displaced. You know what great losses have occurred. You know the loss of life that has occurred. And Lord, we're praying for your intervention on every front. Lord, for the one who is just in total shock and can't seem to come to. Lord, I pray that you would visit them in your wisdom, in your love, and your divine care. Divinely touch the hearts of those who are affected, who are all across the nation, wondering the state of their loved ones, wondering where they are and not sure what to do about it. God, move by your spirit and show up in deliverance. We need an actual physical deliverance today, Father, for the one who may be lost or stuck in some tumultuous situation, Lord, because of an earthquake or a building falling, and they're alive but have no one to rescue them. God, you know, send divine help, even if you have to send an angel. Do a work, Lord, in this circumstance that people might be set free and become testimonies and live full lives. Do this work. Save many lives, Lord. Save many lives. We're asking for your intervention. We're asking, Lord God, that you would release heaven on the behalf of those, Lord, throughout this nation suffering. We're praying, God, even for our leaders, those who are over disaster care and relief, those who are making governmental decisions on our behalf. We pray for them all, our president and all those in power, not just those in higher positions, but, Lord, even our local. Move by your spirit there as well. Because they're making decisions that are affecting us and impacting us daily and directly. And so we need them to have divine insight as well, even those who would deny your name. Lord, use them for your glory as well. We're praying for those who are listening to our voice on tonight or whenever they should listen as a result of coming onto this program. We pray, God, that you would do a work in their hearts and hear their hearts cry. You have the wisdom I'll never have. And I pray, God, that you would touch them so intimately and so lovingly that they themselves would find what they need, and that is absolute wholeness in Christ. Lord, I pray for guidance on every front. Bless and keep. In the name of Jesus, we pray all this. Amen and amen. Well, Body of Christ, I thank you for praying with me, for others. I know it was a long prayer, but it's overdue. In this country, we are suffering. We're suffering. There's a lot going on. You know, people don't even know how to connect anymore. It's tough because even in my own household, we're trying to have conversation, and my husband, Pastor Davis, will tell you I'm guilty as well. And what gets whipped out in the middle of the conversation, phones, tablets, we're on our computers. We seem not to have that ability to just disconnect and interface. There's something going on. People are going through today. So what we want to do is we want to be able to become cognizant. We want to become aware. We want to become connected. So when I see it and I notice it myself, I begin to self-correct. If my husband doesn't say, I'll wait till you're done. You know, he gets me with that one every time. But we're all guilty of it. And so we need to get to the point where we are beginning to connect with the Father, with others in the way that is meaningful, right? So we want to deal with this, these situations based on our beliefs today, and I'm looking forward to that. We're going to take a quick break, and on the other side of that break, Body of Christ, we are going to jump right into understanding our beliefs. Let's go. Thank you. Well, welcome to Yolanda Live. We're back on air. This is your sister Yolanda and your friend, Dr. Yolanda Davis, speaking truth to troubled times and the issues of the day. Well, we're starting in on our topic today of the issues of belief. What is it that we believe? We become what we believe. We're talking about belief system today. And on Monday, as we mentioned earlier in the first segment, is that we had Mr. Charles Watson on air with us, who shared with us his background and his phenomenal success in life, for which part of it was his thinking. So he helped us to understand what was going on with his beliefs and what it was that affected him. And he helped us understand that our thinking and our beliefs are paramount to the way that we live and the results that are in our lives. Question on today is, what do you believe? What is it that you believe? Our call-in number is 646-716-5639. What beliefs have you held, and how are they impacting your life? You know, our beliefs can come from our own experience and reflections. We can get a set of beliefs from our own experience and reflections on the events and the happenings that have gone on throughout our lives, and obviously from what we learn from others. Today, we're going to deal specifically with self-created beliefs. Self-created beliefs. What are we talking about? What do we mean when we say that? Self-created beliefs are those that we create ourselves based on what we perceive, right? So things happen in our lives, things occur in our circle of influence, in our environment, and as a result, we come to a conclusion concerning those events, and that becomes our belief system. So we're understanding a little bit about how these beliefs come into play. What is a belief? It is my system of understanding that I hold true regarding a matter or issue. That's important to understand. My beliefs are very different than just my thoughts. My thoughts, just dealing with that a little bit, is my cognitive behavior. It's what happens as a result of me thinking in regards to a situation, right? So I think about these things, and depending on my interpretation of these things, I develop a pattern or a system of beliefs regarding that issue. Those beliefs then begin to become a behavior. And my behavior is just my outward response or action in response to a situation, right? I'm just kind of breaking this down in pieces because we're going to get into this thing pretty deeply, and I want you tracking with me. So the situation is literally anything that happens in an individual's environment. Situations are usually outside of our individual's direct control. So these things are happening to us or around us or in front of us that we are observing, and as a result, we respond. Those are the situations, okay? And you know, in situations, they can actually even be influenced by other people. So something's happening in your environment with other people or by other people, and you're observing, right? You go through a pattern of thoughts regarding that situation, and you then begin to interpret that situation. That interpretation process is becoming your belief system. Now, typically, when it comes to the beliefs, and I just want to deal with this because I think it's important to understand, especially since we're dealing with developing of beliefs, right? When it comes down to a thought or a belief, I typically have an emotion regarding it. What's the emotion? The emotion is really just how we feel about the situation, right? So my emotions, just so we're clear on this, are not always logical. They're not. They're not always clear. They're not always concise. As a matter of fact, when it comes to emotions, you can have more than one at a time. Okay? So we got all these emotions going as a result of our thought and our situation, and they influence how I feel or think or believe. So as you're hearing this, you can probably hear that a lot of this is happening simultaneously. I'm thinking about the circumstance and the situation. Emotions are arising about the circumstance and situation, and it becomes the belief in regards to that situation. Once I develop that belief, It affects my behavior. Can you see how that works? In my line of work, we call that the cognitive model of behavior. Okay? So as we're dealing with this belief system, it makes sense to understand some of the backdrop, the root of what's happening to us really. Okay? So when we approach this thing of, oh my gosh, what have I believed? What am I believing here? We understand that it's happening in a very specific way. Nothing is just falling into our lap, although sometimes it feels that way. Nothing's just falling into our laps. There are things happening with very specific reason for very specific reasons as a result of certain circumstance. I hope that's making sense to you because I know I can be wordy. So Bobby, this is what we are dealing with when it comes down to our self-created beliefs. Okay? So those self-created beliefs are those that we create ourselves based on what we perceive as a result of our cognitive process in situations. All right? And we got to go here because I think it just makes sense. Our beliefs aren't necessarily truth. Just so we're understanding that. They're not necessarily truth, but are created thought processes until they've affected us in a way while we're gathering information, a solid general thought process on an issue. So this is what we're doing every single day as we are getting up in the morning, going through our daily to-dos, going to our jobs, dealing with our children, interfacing with our husbands and wives, you know, getting into the things that we get into for work, play, whatever it is. Anytime we're entering into anything, this is going on in the backdrop. Your internal computer is doing this work. And if we are aware of it, the wonderful thing is that we have the power to literally program that bad boy. We're just that intricate and special. God gave that to every human, right? So as we're going through life and we're going through these situations, these beliefs are formed and promulgated based on our experiences and our experimenting, right? Our personal reflections and our generalizations and even our hopes. Beliefs are being developed all the time, right? So when we're interfacing with people, when we're talking and communicating with others, and they ask you, what do you think? What's going on? What are your thoughts on that? Or what do you believe about this? Sometimes we're finding ourselves digging, but we usually can come up with some sort of generalization as a result of our own experiences. So if I asked you what you believed, you know, about computers, nobody had to train you in that area of what you should think. You're going to respond to me based on your generalizations in that area, unless, of course, you are an IT person with very specific learned behaviors about it. Does that make sense? So we all have belief systems. We all have self-created beliefs, right? One of the problems with generalizations from our experience and even limited observations is that what is true in one instance isn't always truth and applicable to all circumstances. Okay, so sometimes it can actually be situational, but it's still self-created belief. Let's just explore what the Bible says about this for a minute, because I think it's important to understand. You know, in all my years of research and study, and Lord knows I love to study. I love studying. This is something that I found to be almost constant, quite honestly, is that whatever I've researched, even when it comes to psychology and counseling and health, holistic health, which we deal with here, and coaching, all these things, is that I've done all this research and study, and when I go back to my scriptures, that principle is there because it's bedrock. And so many things have borrowed from this bedrock set of principles that God gave to mankind. Here's a perfect example of what I mean by that. Anybody who sits with me in any amount of time can tell you that this is something I do what I call in my Italian style because I'm always talking with my hands. And you've heard me say this in past shows. What a man thinketh in his heart, whatever man he thinks in his heart, so is he. As the scripture actually says in Proverbs 23:7, and this is the first part, because there's a second part to that verse. The first part says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Well, what is all that King James English saying to me? It's saying what we've been addressing up to this moment. Whatever I think about, right? And people know I'm pointing to my head at this point. Whatever I think about, and I allow emotion to go alongside that, and I infuse it with emotion. That which I hold with emotion and great import gets transferred down from just my brain processes into my belief system, right? So if we were going to reflect on what we've talked about so far, in that thing that I've held in my brain, there's also the situation we talked about, right? The emotions are in there. It's all coming together. It's all working simultaneously. And to this thing affects me, and it shows up in my behavior. So let me back up a little bit more and redo this. So as a man thinketh in his brain, I'm pointing to my head here, with emotion and meaning, in his heart, meaning it traveled down from my head into my heart, which is my belief system. There's another nugget for you. So is he. In other words, it shows up in my behavior. Brothers and sisters, what you just heard from me is the cognitive behavioral model showing up in Scripture. I love it. I love it. And it just reaffirms for me every time when I find myself in these situations that God's word is truth and it cannot be changed. And when we understand even the principles of life and how the body works and how the person is wired, we know that that truth is bedrock and we can stand on it no matter what. It won't disappear. That's good. It's a principle. So this is what Proverbs 23:7 teaches us. In the book of James, chapter 1, verse 8, it says, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Well, what are we talking about when we're talking about double-mindedness? We're talking about somebody who is experiencing dissonance. And this word has been coming up a lot. This is why I'm dealing with it. And we're going to get into it a little bit more shortly. Let's move to another verse. Philippians 4, verse 8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Well, what did we just hear? The book of Philippians, which I believe Paul is the author, or to the letter of to the Philippians, he's telling them how to use their thoughts, how to steer your thoughts to stay out of dissonance. Pretty deep, right? How is it that we steer this ship of a body, this ship of a life? He says, well, brethren, this is what I want you to understand. The things that I need you to hold true with great emotion, good emotion, and to hold valuable are things that are of truth, things that are honest, things that are just, things that are pure, things that are lovely, things that have a good report attached to them, things that have virtue, and things that are literally praiseworthy. Think on these things. You know what I'm hearing Paul say here? I'm hearing him say things that will encourage your heart and make you happy, not only happy, but at peace. So if I were to apply these scriptures to my life in some practical way, one of the first things that comes to my mind at this moment is what I let into my life and entertainment. Uh-oh, I'm stepping on some toes now. Yeah, in entertainment. I was talking to a brother very recently, and as a matter of fact, he reached out to me in our last show, and I didn't get a chance to reach out to him, but shout out to you, bro. You know who you are. He was pointing out some issues he was having with music. He's saying, man, I want to find some music that's not, you know, making me sad, making me upset, making me angry. Wow, I get it. Here I am trying to heal in certain areas of my life, but yet the music that I can grab a hold of, the entertainment, movies, and things that I could watch for some downtime, they're all speaking literally death to me. They're speaking a very negative situation to me. And I don't want that. I really don't want that. So he was finding it tough, literally, to find good music that would encourage his heart during the day and allow for him to have a good time. Oh, my gosh. What a struggle. What a struggle. So this thing is very real in that we have to find ways to be on purpose about how we will feel. Well, how do I do that? By steering my own belief process. Amen. So we've got a lot that we can do on our own to bolster our positivity, bolster our joy, There's a lot that we can do, right? So getting back to our point here, here we get a clear idea from Scripture as to what edifies the thought processes in our physiology and causes our lives to be affected in specific ways. So if you're not clear on that piece just yet, you're seeing that what Paul is saying to us and what the author of Proverbs is saying to us and what Apostle James is saying to us about our thoughts is that you have got to steer those bad boys and be on point about it. This is what causes the majority of our problems, even when it comes to marital issues and it comes to situations in our lives from day to day. Our thoughts. That's half of the battle right there. Solving the thoughts. What are you choosing to think about the circumstance that you're finding yourself in right now? Right now. Isn't it amazing that that much, the Lord is in his great mercy, has given majority of us the ability to steer. So this is what we want to be aware of as we are approaching the situations in our life and understanding our beliefs and how we arrive to the moment that we're at right this very second. A lot of the times, our belief is what has steered that ship and led us to that point. Amen. We're going to take a quick break here on Yolanda Live, and we're going to be right back talking more about our self-created beliefs. Hello, hello, and it's Yolanda Live right here on our show today. And I want you to just know that I am enjoying this. I'm praying that it is speaking to your heart and speaking to your mind and just giving you clarity as to where are we in our experience and what's going on. So if you're just joining us, our call-in number is 646-716-5639. And I'm praying that you will be blessed today and that you will find something today in what we're sharing to encourage your heart, encourage your mind, and help you to be free from patterns that have caused you up to this moment to be discouraged or to find yourself stuck. This is the purpose of this show, to help you get unstuck and experience your best self. That's what we want. We want to experience our best selves. So you're welcome to call in and share with me on Yolanda Live today if there's something that you have gotten out of this so far, something that you're wanting to add to what you're hearing today. Feel free to give us a call and share with us your thoughts. Share with us how you've seen your own thought patterns affected as you have made any changes in your life. Bless the Lord Almighty. So that's what we want to be doing. So we were talking about negative self-created beliefs, okay? So there are times when our negative self-created beliefs can jail us in our own life experiences more than anything else. Our own beliefs, that's what they can do to us. And so since we're coming to understand that, we have got to challenge our beliefs, and we've got to know what those beliefs are. We've got to know what they are. And so I challenge you today to really just, you know, step up on this thing and let the Lord bless you and allowing for you to have that internal change, because you deserve that. You deserve that. So I'm wanting you to really think about this as we're going into this show. Make it your own moment. Don't just think about other people in your world, like your spouse and that kind of thing. Ask yourself, where am I? Where am I in all of this? So this is what we're here for. We want to help you in that. So like we were saying earlier, because I know I can get off on a tangent, there are times when our negative self-created beliefs can jail us and our life experiences more than anything else. Stressful events have a profound influence on the neuroendocrine, I always have trouble with that word, neuroendocrine system, as well as the neurochemical system. So now we're talking about the physicality of our negative beliefs and even our positive beliefs. They have effects on our body systems that cause chemical changes in many areas of the brain, including several that are strongly involved in emotions. So we're wanting to understand what's going on with me that I feel down regularly. What's going on with me that I feel like I'm stuck? Well, these beliefs that we hold are literally affecting my body system. So we have a negative thought, and then we wonder why we're mad. And we're so mad. I mean, you know what I said? I didn't say angry or upset. I said mad. We get to that point where now we're mad over an issue, and we're figuring out, you know, that something's not right. I would rather in this moment have a different feeling, but right now I'm just mad. So it doesn't matter what people say. I'm going to feel the way I'm feeling, and if necessary, I'm going to lash out. If necessary, I'm going to do behavior, whatever it is that I feel is apropos for this moment. So if we're understanding that our brain chemistry is being changed as a result of these thoughts, I think that you and I would probably do things a little bit differently. We probably do things just a bit differently, right? If I knew that every time I had this train of negative thought, it would cause me to be stuck in this very specific way. Now, mind you, we've had Brother James, Apostle James, we've had Apostle Paul, and the writer, which we believe to be King Solomon in some instances, in Proverbs, or King Solomon's mom in many cases, tell us and encourage us on what things we need to be thinking, as well as how it is that we actually think. Scripture is teaching us this thing. And for those of you who are just tuning in, and I see we've got quite a few tune-iners over there online as I'm looking at the dashboard, we are wired by the Proverbs 23:7, which is telling me, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. We are understanding why we get stuck in our experience. That's that dissonance we talked about earlier in James chapter 1:8. And then Philippians 4:8 goes on to tell us what things we ought to be thinking for optimal experience, right? And we just learned that we can actually self-create these beliefs that are negative, and that they will actually affect us in our neurochemical system as well as our neuroendocrine system, right? And once these things occur, we actually have a negative health outlook as a result of it. That's pretty heavy. That my negative thoughts are literally making me sick. You ever heard anybody say that? You make me sick, right? And they usually say it with some vehemence, some attitude. And do they really understand that they are telling the truth? It's not them making them sick, though, the person that they're directing the statement to. It's literally their thoughts, their own internal mechanisms that are causing them to physically be sick. One of the hardest things it is for us to do who are in any fashion of or specialty of mental health counseling, pastoral counseling, coaching, no matter what we're doing when we're trying to help people in this particular fashion, one of the hardest things that we could ever approach doing is trying to get people to think differently. Because we hold our negative self-created beliefs like they are gold and they are gospel. And we've got to understand that there is a great impact, a great cost at holding these negative thoughts. There are people in our lives who have chosen to disassociate themselves from us, who have been violent toward us, people who are just riddled with low self-esteem, people who can't make good choices or are double-minded. They're saying one thing and doing another. All of this, regardless of the people who they might be, is a result of negative self-created beliefs. It's astounding. And so we fight internally, not physically, obviously, but we fight internally and throughout our professions trying to get folks off of this negative self-created belief page based on their environmental situations and other things that have occurred to them. And some are egregious, to get them from that place to the place where they can actually change in their thought patterns. Let me just bring this piece up because this comes to mind. I think it will affect how we feel and understand things. For instance, in Oriental medicine believes that organs are capable of responsiveness. Oh, I'm having trouble with English today. Let me just drink a little bit of water. Our organs are capable of responsiveness, and the cells of which they are composed can be sensitive to specific emotions, and therefore all physical symptoms that we have are a result of our thinking. This is sort of the Oriental medicine belief system. So illnesses, organ malfunctions, physical reactions, etc., all of that they believe are formed or are causal, or I should say that the thoughts are causal to these particular issues in our life. Interesting. This is what Oriental medicine believes. So they're saying all my organs, everything that they do are in response to my specific sensitive emotions, and these cause all physical symptoms. So in their minds, no illness, no organ malfunction, no physical reaction goes without that cause, right? And they are a form of nonverbal communication of the body to express an internal emotional conflict. So they are dealing with where you are in your health picture based on what's going on with you emotionally too. There's another line of thought, I believe this is more of Indian medicine, where they're dealing with the chakras. We've heard that language before. But once again, all this has to do with emotional and physical and mental energies. So this line of thought is not brand new. I'm just kind of giving us some frame of reference here. And in traditional Chinese medicine, we believe that our emotions are directly tied to our health. Interesting. So if this be true, if my emotions are that important and my beliefs are tied to my emotions, as we learned in the cognitive model earlier on in our segment, then it makes great sense that I would begin to examine what I believe, what I've been thinking, and challenge those negative beliefs, especially these self-created beliefs that have been jailing me in my life experience and causing me to be sick. In the toxic cycle model, now we're going a little bit more into the psychology. In the toxic cycle model, we talk about patterns of relief reward. Anybody who's spent any amount of time with me on the couch understands this piece, right? So when we talk about that, sometimes a pattern or a relief or reward or even a pattern of chronicity can be attention-seeking sickness. Now, why are we dealing with that specific pattern? Because majority of what the individual is experiencing in their chronic sickness or their chronic illness is as a result, a direct result of the negativism that has been allowed to run roughshod throughout their life. And they have not taken their negative self-created beliefs and examined them and broken them down to see what's truth and what's imposition. What of it needs to be done away with and what of it is actually true and can be worked through. These particular individuals love that self-created, negative self-created belief system. Why? Because it has brought them attention. It has given them some sort of fulfillment. One of the things we say in this field is, what's the payoff for you holding on to that negativism? That's pretty sharp. And the response you tend to get, you know, and the facial reaction is always similar. I'm used to seeing that. And they're a little shocked that you would say that. What do you mean payoff? This is negative. I'm sitting on this couch with you because this is tough, right? Yeah, it's tough, but you're holding on to it like it's the gospel, right? Why are you valuing this negativism? And that's a question typically we have not really pressed when we really think about it. We haven't pressed that issue. So the challenge becomes that now I have to sit with myself and work out these particular negativisms. That's pretty challenging. And sometimes it's painful. But there's a joy on the other side of this particular pain in that if I address this thing, I can literally have a transformative exchange. Yeah. You know, I myself have experienced that same thing. I didn't tell people sometimes, especially when we're in fellowship. You know, there are several reasons for me to have walked through life hateful, you know, vengeful. I grew up in a very tough environment. Anybody who knows my testimony knows that. And I don't remember a day in my preteen and teen years, and even in my 20s, where there wasn't great challenges and insurmountable at times issues that looked impossible. But if there's one thing I learned, and I'm going to give credit to my now husband, Thomas Davis, on this one. There's one thing I've learned over the years, because I remember years ago, and I'm going to share this bit, which I don't share with most people. Matter of fact, I don't share it in public at all, often or at all. But he shared with me some years ago, someone called Earl Nightingale. I think I was 17. That's how long I've known my husband. He told me about Earl Nightingale, and he shared with me the story of the strangest secret, right? I got involved in just allowing myself to be influenced by this strangest secret, and I realized I had my own acres of diamonds. Now, this is totally unscripted, guys. I'm sharing with you now. And when I realized that even though I was growing up in a very tough situation in Newark, New Jersey, and faced with trials that looked like they would put anybody in the crazy house, I had some say. I had some say in which direction my life went in spite of what I was experiencing at the time. And I applied those principles. I applied myself to it. I gave great thought and great time to challenge my internal mechanisms and challenge my negative self-created beliefs until I got to the point where I would meditate on what I believe that God had for me. I would meditate. I mean, I would spend time. I can still see myself doing this now, even as we're talking. I would lay back on that couch, and I would just meditate after reading some scriptures and promises on what that picture looked like for me. Until, strangest thing, this thing that I was beginning to think started to show up in my behavior, started to show up in my atmosphere and in my environment. Things that I knew were good for me and promises of God started to open up opportunity in my life. I thought that was pretty cool. Right? So literally, I understood that, wow, these principles of scripture do work. And I was a teenager. So I say that to say, you know, we wonder, yeah, that works for you, but not for me. No, the principles are the principles. They work for anyone who will apply them. And I dare say to you that there are people who are not even in relationship with Christ who are practicing some of these principles, and they are getting results. Why? Because the principles are the principles. They are neutral. They do not just lean towards one person. There are certain scriptural principles that apply more to the believer, but there are some that are universal, and they apply to whomever will apply them. This is why the Oprahs of the world and others like her, the Bill Gates and others like them, the Charles Watsons of the world are who they are, because they are applying these scriptures. I hope you're getting this. This is pretty heavy. This is pretty heavy. So getting back to the traditional medicine thing, because I'm off on a tangent here, and let me just finish my thought process with that. They're believing that these beliefs, you know, are obviously a result of our physical symptoms. And I guess we would call this in our field psychosomatic. Psychosomal, that's the word we use, right? But here are some examples of how traditional medicine associates emotional conflicts to specific organ functions. And I thought this was so cool that they would have broken it down like this. Now, I'm not saying this is my belief system, but I'm just kind of breaking down to you how specific this particular group who practice medicine have seen emotions affect individuals. So hold on to your horses with this one. They believe, this is traditional Chinese medicine, that kidneys can be affected by fear or shock. Kidneys. So if you are constantly being in shock or in a state of fear, they're saying that your kidneys will malfunction. Interesting, right? The spleen and your pancreas can be affected by worry or pensiveness. Whoa. So I'm having these negative emotions, and they're literally wreaking havoc on my organs. The liver can be affected by anger or frustration. Wow. The lungs can be affected by sadness or suppressed grief. The heart can be affected by excess excitement. So the belief is that negative emotions cause disruptions in the body's energy system, and the cause of negative emotions is a disruption in the body's energy system. Obviously, in traditional Chinese medicine, what you're feeling really matters. Huh. It matters a whole lot. In this particular type of medicine, it could mean your emotions, your negative emotions could literally mean the death of you. Huh. That's crazy, man, right? Now, I haven't researched this greatly, but, I mean, if any inkling of this is true in reference to this Chinese medicine, this traditional Chinese medicine, how differently would we have to live? How differently would we have to think? How differently would we have to believe? Pretty heavy, right? Today, millions of people all over the world practice traditional medicine. When it comes down to the Chinese traditional medicine, largely due to the experimental belief system proving true for hundreds, if not thousands, of years in their communities. So, you know, maybe they don't practice every facet of it, but they're definitely believing a lot of what it has to offer. So the point here is that as that we are as impacted directly by what we believe, which leads to our emotions, than we thought. Our emotions are even tied to our beliefs. It begs the point that if we are not developing beliefs on purpose, as well as mental house cleaning, we're going to experience dissonance in our thinking and in our health. Now, I keep throwing that word around. Let me just touch on that a little bit more because I know I didn't get into it earlier. Dissonance is the lack of agreement. You can think about disjointed, right? Double-mindedness, as we addressed earlier in other scripture. Right? Inconsistent. I can't speak English all of a sudden. It's an inconsistency between the beliefs one holds or between one's actions and one's beliefs. In other words, I'm saying one thing but doing another. That's dissonance. That's double-mindedness. The two are the same. It's vital that you and I examine what we believe and replace dissonant belief systems whenever we find them, especially where there is dissonance between the truth. And especially where, you know, as far as the God's word is concerned, but the truth that we know is applied to a certain situation and what people want to believe. I'm sure you won't be hearing this the last time because I say this a lot. People don't typically let the truth get in the way of their believing. That's direct from the book of Yolanda. Yeah, people are not going to let truth get in the way of their believing. Because they want to believe what they want to believe. So you and I could do a dance or whatever else that might be apropos for the moment and still not get changed. Why? Because people want what they want. So it begs for the individual to take a deep look, a close look at where they are in their experience and how much of it is because of my own self-created beliefs, negative self-created beliefs. I pray you're tracking with me today, and I pray that this show is blessing you in reference to why we are where we are. You know, some of us are youth, and we've had these issues with our parents, right? And it's been hard to live with them because they're saying one thing and they're doing another. That's dissonance. So at the very least, if you don't have the control to be able to, you know, have them change their patterns, you can begin to pray that they are freed from this cognitive dissonance. You can begin to pray for their sober thinking. You can begin to pray for them to be set free in this particular area and that they have some change. That's the first thing you can do. So we have to look at this dissonance in our own lives and challenge it and let it know you can't be here. I am not going to allow you to stay in my life. I'm not going to stay double-minded. I won't stay in a state of dissonance, and I can actually grow. I can grow. Well, guys, we are running out of time. Oh, gosh, time flies. I guess when you're having fun, right? And family, I know that this has been some information that hasn't been, I guess, addressed enough in general public, but it is affecting every human, every American especially, from day to day. And you can imagine the dissonance that's actually happening in the middle of all these tragedies that are going on around us right now. We have to be more aware and be more on purpose about what we're believing, what we're holding true, and how it is that we deal with the people in our world. I want to thank you for joining me on Yolanda Live today. As you know, I'm your sister and your friend, speaking truth to troubled times and the issues of the day. And I want you to be blessed as you practice these principles and experience the life that you have dreamed and always wanted. Join us again next time as we continue this series on beliefs. And make sure that you're actually taking notes if there's something that is really speaking to your heart. Amen. And just so we're aware, if you're in the need of any kind of coaching or counseling and you want to get unstuck, we're here for that. We are here. Actually, I'm in the office right now as we speak. I'm sitting by the phone line. If you are a person who wants good Christian counseling, get some good coaching. And our coaching is available to those who are wanting it faith-based or unfaith-based. We have it both for you, right? We're here for you. And we offer this faith-based counseling. We offer coaching. We even offer natural health consultation. We're a whole holistic health consulting group, and we offer you the tools that you're going to need for a healthy life experience. So we want to make sure that you have that knowledge today. If you're wanting to give us a call and use our services, if you mention the Yolanda Live Show, you'll get a 10% discount on your initial counseling session. That's right. You're going to get a 10% discount. Reach out to us today at hearttoheal.org. Oh, I'm so tongue-tied today, guys. Hearttoheal.org. That's H-E-A-R-T, the word heart, two, T-O, heal, H-E-A-L.org. Give us a call, reach out to us online, and mention Yolanda Live and get that 10%. Make sure you say so, because myself, sometimes I forget things, and anybody else who might answer the line is going to need to know. Amen? Well, that's all for today, guys. I'm looking forward to the next time we get together. Join us next time as we start to talk about our external generated beliefs. These things are really important. And as we unravel all of these hard spots, we're going to learn how it is that we overcome, even by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony in these circumstances. I want you blessed. Have a blessed evening. And keep the folks going through in these terrible storms and this bad, disastrous weather in prayer. All right, guys, I'm out. Until we meet again, love you.
You land alive.